Good to the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. If this is your first time tuning in, this show runs from 8 to 10, and you can stream live or chat with us just by going to readingteaparty.com and click on radio. In addition to streaming live and chatting with us, and I hope you will, everything you need to know about our sponsors, our radio show, archives from previous shows, and information about future shows is all listed on our media page. It's a one-stop shop for all of your needs and information for this radio show. So you're joining Aaron and Elizabeth and our sound engineer. Good morning.
We've got Nate. Hey, Nate, before we get going.
I had a senior moment there for a second. Sorry about that. I'm not a senior yet, but I had that senior moment.
You had a senior moment?
I've been drinking decaf. Seriously.
That's where we clip it and we just go, she's been drinking.
Yeah, be careful with that editing there,
yeah,
Nate.
Yeah, ouch. ReadingTeaParty.com, click on radio. That will take you to our media page, which is fantastic.
Yes,
Robert does an amazing job with this. And you might be thinking, I don't think I want to do that. No, you do want to do that because we have had some incredible programming since we got started here. We have had Dr. Michael Kaufman on of recent. We have had Karen England on from the Capital Resource Institute, who lobbies for all things having to do with families, parental rights, all the social issues. She will actually be the speaker at the Reading Tea Party meeting tomorrow night, Monday, at 6 p.m. at Bonneview Baptist Church, 2570 South Bonneview.
And just so you know, Karen England does stand-up comedy in her spare time. The woman is hilarious.
She's hilarious, and man, you get like three times more information from her because she talks so darn fast.
You know, you'll get all kinds of great information while you're rolling in the aisle from laughter. It's so worth coming. So worth it.
Yeah, and just in case you're thinking, well, I don't really care about all those things about lobbying for family values, she does a lobby day, which is actually education on how to be just a regular citizen lobbyist. She's putting that on at the Capitol. That is on March 15th, so you'll be able to get some info on that. Also tomorrow night, we have some kids that are reading the Declaration of Independence.
And it's kind of cool Little Country Church.
Yeah.
They did it last year, and honestly, it'll make your hair stand up on end. I mean, goosebump-wise.
I was like, huh?
Goosebump-wise, because they actually surround everyone in the sanctuary of the church. They stand in the aisles, and they quote this incredible document verbatim, and it's just beautiful and powerful, and it brings tears to the eyes of our veterans who are the ones that were on the front lines and back at home fighting for the right to preserve that document. So definitely powerful.
So just in case you were thinking kids didn't care about what was going on in the world or didn't know or all those things,
they do.
So they'll be there tomorrow night. Karen will be our speaker. Then let's see, what else do we have going on?
We're doing a blood drive.
Yeah, we can... You know, I mean, and I think the Appleseed Project is talking about their latest shoot.
Which is in April, probably. Mm. It usually is.
So there's a lot of stuff going on tomorrow
night.
I'd come early and bring a notepad.
Yeah, we're doing a blood drive with North State Blood Source. Is that correct? Yeah. Blood Source?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, they're two blood things. It's
yeah.
the one on Park Marina.
And so they'll be there at 4 o'clock. They'll be there from 4 to 8.
Yep.
And our folks will be... donating blood. And
I would love it if somebody could take my 4:15 slot, because we have some folks coming from Santa Rosa who are coming over to see how we do stuff over here. So guys that we've been talking to over in Santa Rosa are coming over, and they're coming at 3, so it's going to be hard to do the blood thing. So if somebody wants a 4:15 appointment, give me a call, 515-7135. Don't call me right now, though, because my cell phone's off. But and we would tell you to call us on the show this morning, but we can't because both of our guests are going to be taking up both the incoming lines. So if one of them has to hang up for some reason or another, we'll put the number out there. But for the time being, this program is going to be all about the water issues in Siskiyou County. And so for those of you that are thinking, I don't think I care about the water issues in Siskiyou County.
You should.
No, see, you do, because this is all about private property rights. This is all about private property rights. This is all about governmental overreach. This is all about the stuff you care about. And bottom line is, these guys are the tip of the spear.
Yeah, because see, what people don't realize is a battle being fought somewhere else ultimately comes to you. So if this water issue is not resolved in the favor of the people that live there, then these agencies will start to head south. And we're not that far from Siskiyou County.
No. And we're looking at all the things that are going on up there with their monument that the federal government is threatening. We've got programs on the radio. When you go to the radio button, you're going to see a list of programs. We have talked about the monument. We have talked to Mark Barrett before, actually. He's been on here. You'll see his name on there. We've got a program on smart meters. We've got one on property rights with Bill Dennison, who is an incredible guy.
Fred Kelly Grant.
Yeah, I was just going to say coordination awesome. Strategy with Fred Kelly Grant. All about monuments with Danielle Lindler and Mike Adams. We've got forest management with Danielle Lindler. So if you have people saying that, we're not managing the forest, and you want to hear from an expert, the forest management program, and then you'll see Protect Our Water. So that was what was happening then. We're going to find out what's happening now.
You know, and before we actually get into the show, yeah. I just wanted to talk a little bit about our sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
This particular segment of the show is sponsored by North State Tax Consultants, Mark Kent and his wife, Linda, and his sister, Linda, run a great show over there. They're located on Cypress Avenue. Their telephone number is 221-0101. And again, if you go to the media page by clicking on radio, you'll find out a little more information about them. But Mark is extremely skilled in helping you keep your money rather than paying more in taxes. So definitely worth a phone call to those folks. And so they're sponsoring this portion of the show.
And we thank them for that. And if you know somebody who would like to sponsor the program, maybe isn't a business owner, maybe doesn't have something to actually advertise but would like to sponsor the show, mm-hmm. we're into that too. You can always email us at 1460@readingteaparty.com. Made it pretty easy. 1460 is obviously the station that we're on. So if you forget that, readingteaparty.com,
and
click on radio.
And one more thing that we sometimes forget to add on our Sunday morning show.
What? We forget to add stuff?
Can you imagine? If you're just tuning
sure,
in or you're a new listener, we are basically, our principles that we're standing on with this show and through the Reading Tea Party are fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution. We do stay away from the social issues because everyone has a personal opinion about a lot of different things, and we really stay away from the decisive issues. We stay strictly
yeah.
on the fiscal responsibility and government overreach and that type of thing, because everybody can agree on that at some point.
At some point. But when you get into this private property rights, it affects everybody at every single level. And like today's program, talking about water, it was great. I went to their dinner last night. Their I don't know if it was an annual meeting, but it felt like one. It was kind of like the state of the nation up there, and fundraiser and all that. It was great. And they were saying, the message is everybody's a water user. This affects everybody because everyone is a water user. And I'll tell you what, that is the absolute fact of it. And anybody who says the government isn't overreaching isn't really paying attention. So,
and just kind of watch every day how much water you use and in how many different ways, and just imagine you couldn't access it.
Yeah, by the way, I see Carrie's going to be online with us again. She put out a challenge to us to use 10 gallons of water last week. Hey, Carrie, I failed.
And Carrie, by the way. And Carrie's from Illinois, so we do stream worldwide.
Yep, we're streaming worldwide, and Carrie's in there. She just says, amen. So I want Carrie to write to me in the chat room about how much water she used. I failed, like, right when I went home.
Yeah, yeah.
I think after all the water issues and all the government stuff, I use more water just because I can. I'm on a well. Don't tell anyone.
Now, hey. So think about how much this issue can ultimately affect you if we don't fight it.
Absolutely. So now we're going to hit our first break here. We're going to listen to some of our advertisers. We're going to come back. We're going to hear from Mark Baird and Craig Chenoweth on water issues in Siskiyou County. You're going to love it. Well, okay, you're going to hate the government. You're going to love those guys. KCNR, 1460 AM is where you're listening. This is Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hey, Hey, I think that's the best music to wake up to, don't you? You are back, and we are back. We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Remember, go to readingteaparty.com, click on radio. You can stream live. You can chat with us. We love that. And before we go any further and we start talking with Craig and Mark from Protect Our Water, you might want to go to their website to follow along on this topic while we're talking, protectourwater.org.
You can also find all those links when you go to the Reading Tea Party site, click on radio. It'll take you to a page that Robert has set up all about these guys with all of their web links and information about them and a button to listen live or to chat. So there you have it. All right, fellas, you've been trapped in the phones there just listening online, so jump in.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
And we should tell people we're all in different towns. We're in Reading. Mark's up there in Siskiyou County, and Craig's down there in San Francisco.
Yes, we are, and we had a very interesting meeting last night, the Siskiyou Water Users and Protect Our Water. But I'd like to bring up one thing for your listeners in case people are undecided about whether this issue affects them. California Water Code Section 106 says that the highest use of water in the state of California is domestic, and the second highest use is agriculture. Now, it wouldn't be a very big stretch to have the legislature or Fish and Game lobby for a bill to have that water code changed to include environmental water as the most important use of water. So that this does affect everyone. It is coming your direction.
Thank you. That's important because we have people listening from all over the place that don't necessarily live in rural communities, and these issues do affect everybody. You guys just happen to be the tip of the spear. How long have you guys been fighting the water encroachment, I'll call it?
Maybe Craig, you want to give the history? Is Craig
oh,
there?
Oh, I guess we lost Craig.
Oh, okay.
Fill in
well,
a hole. You're
I'll
it, Mark.
You out with the history then. We started, actually this program started about 10 years ago when the environmentalists got together and decided to target another species. They were very successful with the spotted owl and so shut down the timber industry in many counties in California, and they decided to target another species, Boho salmon, so that they could shut down agriculture in some of the Northern California counties. And using that for a test, they then picked up the Delta smelt and are marching south as we speak. These species are targeted. They're not in danger. The coho salmon is not in danger. But at any rate, Fish and Game, with the help of the Natural Heritage Foundation and Cal Trout, concocted a program where they would reinterpret some 60-year-old water laws, come up with a basket of quote, new contracts that they are coercing everyone to voluntarily sign, which would place them in direct control of your property rights and your water rights in the state of California.
Unbelievable. They, I know that every now and then they try to put in things about septic tanks and wells and this and that, but they seem to have focused very much on your area, which has already been decimated by the fake spotted owl problem and all the rest of things. Hey, and Craig just got back with us. Something must have happened. Hey, Craig, you in there?
I'm here. I've just got some bad cell service. I'm down in San Francisco. Can you hear me?
We can.
Good morning.
Good. Good morning. How are you today?
Is there snow down there?
No, they said it was supposed to snow here somewhere, but I haven't seen it.
Ah, bummer.
Hey, so you were, Mark was going to have you tell us a little bit of the history of the water situation up there in Siskiyou County, and then we discovered you were missing.
Sure. In San Francisco, in Scott Valley there, in a nutshell, basically, the water issues have been pretty much deprived by the Department of Fish and Game trying to implement the incidental take permit and also the new interpretation of the 1600 permit. They seem to think that we now need to finance them for giving them complete authority over our adjudicated water rights. This has been the issue that we've been fighting very severely for the last several years and hope to resolve by not complying in any way with them.
Now tell people what adjudicated water rights are for those people that don't speak water.
Sure. Adjudicated water rights are something that when you buy a piece of property that is also attached to the deed are adjudicated water rights. In agricultural terms, this is the water that is measured by the cubic foot in terms of how much water you will get out of a creek, stream, or river throughout your irrigation season, which is basically lined out by the Department of Water and Resources. And this is what you would use to irrigate with, to water stock with, to maintain levels of groundwater throughout your ranch.
Okay, so...
Now, a lot of this water right started before the turn of the 20th century. For example, our water right was recorded in April of 1859. These are called appropriative water rights, and they're in use in large part throughout the state. A lot of people have these appropriative water rights. Then in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, the courts would come and gather these water rights up into baskets called adjudication, and they placed the Department of Water Resources in charge of monitoring the split, if you will. So the water right itself is something that's separate. However, the supervisory role of Department of Water Resources was placed upon the water right by the court to make sure no one was taking more water than they were due or taking it earlier or later than they were supposed to. And Fish and Game now, because they need money and they saw this endangered species listing as the opportunity, they now want to place themselves in charge of your property. And mind you, water in California is a property right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes with the property right.
Yeah, because without a water right, you can't be a ranch, you can't be a farm, you can't really be much of anything.
No, and you can't grow the food that this country and this nation needs and that the world demands. And remember that California grows almost 90% of the produce that's consumed in this country.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that high.
And what also is interesting to realize here is that a lot of what the California Department of Fish and Game and environmental groups are trying to come at us with is actually to shut us down and put us out of business. This isn't going to be a fundamental... I don't know how to say it. I would just say it's not going to be a productive way to do business in the future with us up in Siskiyou County. Because you can't tell people that, by the way, we're going to take your water for the fish, when it's never really been about fish. It's more been about the control of water on private land. And if you go out of business, you know, gee, that's really too bad. We're not really concerned about it. We're more concerned about with saving the environment. I say that the stewards of the environment have been the ranchers all along. These are the folks that have known for the last 175 to 200 years in Scott Valley specifically how to make this land work, what works well on it, and how to keep it most productive within a really thriving and healthy ecosystem. But they won't take the time to understand what we have going on our ranches. They are only concerned with the take of water for their own purposes.
And, you know, if you attend any of the meetings held by these state agencies and you address the issue of the economic devastation that will occur to whole communities based on their policies, they will flat out tell you that the economics do not factor into their decisions. That's just not part of the plan.
They do not factor into their decisions at all. In fact, the environmental impact report, a lot of the scoping comments refer to farmers and ranchers going broke, and Fish and Game reply is that they understand that a lot of people are going to lose their land over this, but since that's not an environmental concern, it's not part of their purview.
What is also very unfortunate, in the state of California, our politicians behind our backs have continuously sold us out. These are not issues that are going to be negotiable in the future. These are property rights. Our rights can't be turned into privileges for somebody else to manipulate and maintain. The violation of the Constitution is a violation of the Bill of Rights. Even other than the California State Constitution, our rights prevail over everything. So we've got to make it very clear to the radio listeners and all people that are listening this morning that we're not going to compromise on any level.
No, and that's really important. That discussion came up last night at the meeting up there in Yreka, that there is no compromise for this. There's no way to do a compromise.
How do you compromise with a bully? How do you compromise with a liar? And Fish and Game has proven themselves to be all of those things.
Well, we need to know too. You know, the thing with the fish. There are a lot of folks who don't know about this issue, so I figure, you know, I'm trying to mentally catalog all the things that I'm listening to you say, and I'm thinking, what if I was brand new and I didn't know this? The fish we're talking about is the coho salmon.
And you guys, correct.
Somebody, you know, one of you, tell folks what the deal is with the coho salmon, because it's really ridiculous. We've got about two minutes
here. Why don't you go ahead and handle that one? Okay. The coho salmon is the targeted species. In other words, when I say targeted species, I mean that is the species they have chosen to use in order to accomplish the environmental agenda in this county and in the rest of California, quite frankly. And this is occurring all over California with different target species. The coho salmon was an easy one in the Klamath River because the coho salmon was never native to the Klamath River. It was planted three times in the last century and once just before the turn of the 20th century, I think it was 1895, by Fish and Game. And each of those three plantings failed. Finally, the last one they did in the 50s took just a little bit, and there were marginal populations of coho salmon in the Klamath River. The Klamath River is basically a warm water, volcanic, high phosphorus, high alkali river system. It's the only volcanic basin that drains to the ocean in the United States. Water quality has been poor there for a million years. So what the environmentalists are claiming now is that the poor water quality in the Klamath River is due to agriculture, and that is just plain a lie. I can't even say it's an untruth. It's a lie, and we have hundreds of reports to say that this is naturally occurring. And coho salmon are cold water fish. They don't typically spawn more than 25 miles from the coast anyway. So because these guys have found a few coho salmon in the Klamath River, and since 1925, by the way, I have all the fish counts from 1925, that population really hasn't varied that much, but they're now using the fish population to target agriculture and cause all of the water that comes through the Klamath watershed. Their goal is to keep all of that water in the river and prevent human beings of any kind from using that water for any purpose other than, quote, saving the environment.
When we come back, I want you to tell people how far away from the ocean you are, because when people hear that, they're going to go through the roof.
And what happens to the coho salmon if you keep them?
Yeah, I like that part too.
Right there.
And how many have been killed by Fish and Game? Oh, there's so many things. Okay, we'll be back in just a second. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Redding Tea Party. Just wanted to remind you, if you want to follow along on the chat room or stream live locally, nationwide or worldwide, like Carrie from Illinois, go to reddingteaparty.com, click on radio, and the media page will give you everything you need to know, including all the information about this morning's speakers, Craig Chenoweth and Mark Baird, and their fighting water issues up in Siskiyou County. So what they're talking about right now is the very convenient excuse that Fish and Game has manufactured about the coho salmon and why we must end all human use of water in Siskiyou County. Continue on, guys.
Go ahead, Mark. We are just about, the area in question now is about 100 to 150 miles. We're between 100 and 150 miles upriver from the coast. And so this targeted species, for example, at the Klamathon Counting Station, which is what they called the fish weir in the old days, in 1925, the fish count there was just right around 200 coho salmon, give or take. Now, that population has gone up and down with a phenomenon called the Pacific Decadal Cycle. Every 10 to 20 years, the Pacific Ocean gets warmer and then it gets colder. And oddly enough, when it gets warmer, cold water fish head to the Gulf of Alaska in search of food. Now, the commercial catch of salmon was about 150,000 tons 10 years ago, and this year it was almost 500,000 metric tons. The salmon are not disappearing. They're still here. They just go north when the ocean gets warm, and they head south when the ocean gets colder.
John Menke was talking about how many salmon they killed. Do you have that a little statistic there at the tip of your fingers?
Is that they being Fish and Game?
Yeah, they.
Yes. As a matter of fact, we're pretty fond of saying, and by the way, we have statistics to back this up and reports, and one of them is a Fish and Game internal document. The Fish and Game is so afraid of this report, after 10 or 12 years, they still call it a draft report so that it can't be used in court against
That's
them.
That's neat.
Yeah. They're guilty of about 2,000, just under 2,000 federal takings leading up to the state. Oddly enough, they quit killing the fish overtly the year before the state listed them. Funny how that works. But also, they're guilty at the hatchery. What they do is they mark these fish so that you can tell a hatchery fish from quote, a wild one, even though there's no genetic difference. The environmentalists now have succeeded in one maneuver that's been very effective for them, by the way. They make a genetic distinction between, quote, a wild-caught salmon and a hatchery salmon, even though there is absolutely, literally, no genetic difference whatsoever between the two fish. We let 8 million salmon go a year out of these hatcheries in the Klamath River. And what Fish and Game does is they mark these fish so that on the return, they can tell which one came from the hatchery. They do this by cutting off the adiposal fin, and also they call it a maxillary clip. And by that, I mean they cut a piece of the fish's jawbone out, literally, so that his jaw doesn't work properly. This maxillary clip technique, by the way, results in a 30% death rate for the fish they let go from the hatcheries. 30% death rate. They're slower to grow. It's harder for them to survive. Well, think about it. If you cut out a piece of your jawbone, your mouth wouldn't work very well when you're trying to eat. These are the tactics that Fish and Game's using in order to intentionally depress the fish population so they can accomplish this agenda.
Now,
it's important for the listeners to understand that over the last, especially the last 30 years, the largest predator to the coho salmon has been the Department of Fish and Game. They've systematically killed off almost the entire species so they could turn around in 2005 and get it listed as an endangered state species. And guess what? They did this just on the Klamath River. They didn't do it. The fish runs from Mexico to Alaska. They used very carefully, and there is an agenda here, which is basically they used this so that they could work on this whole project that not only what's affecting us as farmers and ranchers in Siskiyou County as far as the incidental take permit and the 1600, but also for the removal of the dams. This was promised about 30 years ago under the Babbitt administration when Clinton was president. It's important for the people in Redding that are listening this morning that Fish and Game plans to plant fish above the Shasta Dam. And if they take, they can say, oh, these are endangered. We better take the Shasta Dam out too. These are the inclinations of what is going so seriously wrong with our state and federal agencies. This fight is constitutionally based because it's a direct violation of our rights and property and water. The Department of Fish and Game recognizes this and has now begun to, like on the 1600 permit, I'll let Mark explain that to you, but what they have done here is they have used new interpretations of the law. The new Ag Secretary in California is going to reinterpret the California Constitution in order to tell us how and when we can use our water.
So when you present Fish and Game with your facts, what's their reaction?
Well, here's a good one for you. Some even Nielsen, as a matter of fact, went and had John McCammon in a meeting. This was quite some time ago. And he presented McCammon with the information that we've just outlined to you and quite a bit more than that. And Mr. McCammon, reportedly, he dropped his head, folded his hands, took on a very contrite look, and said, well, we just have to save these fish.
And Mr. McCammon is?
The best they can
do? He is the director of the Fish and Game for the moment. He will probably be replaced by Jerry Brown's man, but for the moment, he's the director of the Fish and Game.
Hmm.
So we have that attitude, and it prevails. We have a game warden here who was speaking to one of our water users, and by the way, there's a witness to this conversation. And this game warden said, I hope we have lots of coho salmon returning this year so that I can write lots of citations for take. And take, by the way, for your listeners, under California law is harm, pursue, kill, so on and so forth. But under California law, you have to have a dead fish and you have to be able to prove who killed it, as opposed to federal law where you can get a citation for simply, quote, harassing a fish. And that could be something
oh,
as stupid as your children throwing rocks in the creek where fish are present, by the way.
And we have to remember that these agencies need funding, plain and simple.
Oh, yeah.
They need funding.
Well, when did this all begin? Like, how long has this been going on?
Craig, you want to take that one?
Well, the incidental take permit and the 1600 permit have been in the works for years. This original concept for the incidental take permit wasn't a brainchild of the Department of Fish and Game, but it was a brainchild of Caltrout, who sold it to the Department of Fish and Game. There's a lot of environmental groups like Caltrout and other fisheries, even the commercial fishermen involved in a lot of this stuff, in order to make sure that somebody's going to benefit from this water. And they say that it's not going to be us in agriculture. This whole process has been going on for a lot of years. What we're seeing today, right now, is a culmination of a lot of work by environmental groups and state and federal agencies to try and work this program, the incidental take permit, and the reinterpretation of the 1600 permit in Siskiyou County. What the folks need to understand is that they are going to use this as a model for the rest of the state of California. They figured they could come into Siskiyou County, which is the largest county in the state, has the smallest population of a county in the state, and they could come in here and pull the wool over our eyes. They figured we were just dumb and stupid enough to think that we could go along with this. They didn't even throw big amounts of money at us at first. But the point being here is that this has been going on for quite a long time. It has been very methodically thought out. What is destroying Fish and Game in their own tracks is their arrogance and their desire to control people. This is something that we have to all understand, that what we see today in our government, state and federal levels, is the control of the water. If you control the water, you control the people. This is something that is going to be a significant issue in the future, and it's not going to go away even if we are able to tell Fish and Game to leave us alone and let us go back to our lives. They're going to continue and are continuous to do this, to try and regulate the water in the state of California all over the place. I'm sure we've got listeners today from all up and down the Central Valley who thoroughly understand what we're talking about and are feeling the pressure already from the state and federal government for them to give up their water rights without just compensation in order to placate a fish, a smelt, or anything else that's going on.
Guys, we're going to take a little break here. We're going to go a little early so that we can give you more time before 9 o'clock hits. I want you, when you come back, would you go into some detail on what exactly an incidental take permit, what does that mean? What does incidental take mean? And also the 1600 permits, because people are going to hear about that, not just on this program, but more and more and more. They need to know what those things actually mean so that they can throw these terms around with some degree of knowledge. So we're going to come back in just a second here. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Well, brought to you by the Redding Tea Party. Don't forget, if you want to join us, go to reddingteaparty.com, click on radio, and you'll be on our media page, where you can chat with us or stream live on your computer, locally, nationwide, or worldwide. Join Carrie from Illinois. Chat with her. It's really fun. So we've got Mark Baird and Craig Chenoweth. They're both from Siskiyou County, and they are leading the fight against the state agencies, basically trying to eliminate private water rights that run concurrently with private property. And they're going to continue the conversation, and they're going to, in layman's terms, tell us exactly what an incidental take permit is and a 1600 permit. And it's important to know because Knowledge is power.
Well, this issue began with two water laws that are essentially 40 and 50, and one of them being almost 60 years old. And what the state did was they reinterpreted these laws in order to accomplish this program. Their vehicle in this attack, hiding behind the cloak of this environmental concern, is Fish and Game Code Section 1600, and that is the Lake and Streambed Alteration Agreement. This was enacted in 1960. It's had various amendments, none significant. The latest one was in 2003. And it's based on a Senate bill which said that no one may substantially obstruct or alter the natural flow of any stream, river, or lake in California without a permit. And that is to mean, and it's probably not a very bad law, it means you cannot go in a creek with a D9 and make a huge mess or build a bridge and leave a huge mess for the state of California to pick up afterwards. You have to get a permit. You need supervision in order to muck about the creek with heavy equipment or do construction, essentially. Well, what Fish and Game has done, and this was kind of a creeping deal, but they have reinterpreted this regulation to mean the act of turning on the water is now altering the bed, bank, or channel of a lake, river, or stream.
It's making the water, when you turn the water on, it makes it move.
When you turn the water on, the water does move. And so they're interpreting that to mean that you have altered the stream by engaging in the routine and ongoing activity of turning on and off your water. And so then what they can do with that now, once you enter in, and they're now calling the act of turning on the faucet, so to speak, a project. Well, if they can succeed in calling turning on the water a project, any time you enter into, quote, a project which requires a permit or a state agency's involvement or state agency funding, then you must comply with CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act. If you comply with CEQA, you must get an incidental take permit. In other words, the incidental take permit essentially is insurance against accidentally killing a listed species. If in this project you accidentally kill a listed species, you're protected from prosecution and fine by virtue of the fact that you have an incidental take permit. But what Fish and Game is trying to do after 50, 60 years of Section 1600 covering construction activities, they're trying to make turning on the faucet a project requiring the involvement of a state agency. And that is the crux of the matter.
So now for all the people that just turn on water in their own house, explain to them what turning on the water in your area, what does that mean? Because I don't think most people have a good visual of the logistics of how water works in your area. These aren't faucets per se. I mean,
No, they're not. We have structures which are called diversions. For example, the diversion on our ranch was constructed in 1859. It's hooked to a ditch that's about 5 miles long. I'm completely responsible for the maintenance of that ditch. I'm responsible for the maintenance of the diversion and any costs associated with that. None of this costs the taxpayers a single cent. And from that diversion, the people on our ditch, and there are, say, 4 or 5 users on our ditch who have the rights to that water. And those rights, by the way, are protected by the Constitution of the United States and the state of California as real property, the same as your tires or your can of soup in the cupboard or the furniture in your living room. And so when I go and turn on the big wheel, the Department of Water Resources is there, and they monitor that wheel to make sure we have flow measuring devices and we have fish screens to keep endangered fish from going down the irrigation ditch and so on. They monitor that wheel to make sure that the flow is only in compliance with the water right, no more, no less, for the prescribed period of time. For example, in this valley, it's April 1st till October 1st. And so now Fish and Game now wants to replace Department of Water Resources in charge of that head gate or that turn on, that big faucet, as the lead agency. And they then would be free, and part of these permits, by the way, they are allowed to come on my property when they want to, because now that they have control of this property, they want to police its use. Now ask yourselves, why are you in the city with your furniture and your musical instruments and your automobiles and your pets, secure in your property? You don't worry about people coming into your house to find out how much TV you're watching. You're secure in that property because the government doesn't want it yet. We are not secure in our property because the government wants our water. They want our property, and they mean to take it. Now, we have a covenant with government. It's called the Constitution of the United States and the State of California. A covenant is a contract where both sides obey the rules. If one side fails to live up to their end of the contract, the government, we and Protect Our Water, feel that if they fail to live up to their side of the covenant, the people are no longer required to live up to our side of it, and we are free to seek self-help. We will fight to protect our property, and we're not kidding about it.
Well, when these permits, we've got probably 5 minutes here. I think we probably have time to do this. But there's a caveat in these permits. So if, in fact, they're requiring you to do it, but you guys are not going to sign it. But let's just say you did. Let's just say you signed this permit. How does that affect the other people along that diversion with you? Maybe they don't use the water. Maybe the water just goes past them and goes to you. This involves everybody.
What they're required to do is, remember, Fish and Game and their assignees are the Resource Conservation District, any contractors, any other law enforcement officials they designate, are free to wander through these properties. And, in fact, part of the permit is you must guarantee access to anyone Fish and Game designates on any property that they consider a part of your, quote, project, even though you may not own that property. I have to guarantee Fish and Game's access to my neighbor's property in order to get this permit. Remember, when you apply for a permit, the permit may be denied. And if it's denied, you're denied the use of your water. Also, these guys are required by law to report any and all, quote, violations they see, for which you would then be prosecuted, or your neighbor may be prosecuted.
So for those neighbors that think that this doesn't affect them, guess what? They're pulled right into it.
It affects everyone, and it is a take of constitutional rights and property, and we in Siskiyou County and Protect Our Water, we will not allow it. It will not occur here, regardless of the compromises our politicians try to make in secret behind closed doors, regardless of what Fish and Game wants. We here in Siskiyou County will not submit.
Well, you know, you have absolutely everything to lose by not fighting.
Absolutely, we have everything to lose.
Yeah.
We're not interested in the outcome of this, of money or power or control. We are interested in preserving our lives that we have, God has given us, the ability to farm and to ranch and to grow the food for our country. And we expect the same constitutional rights that come with the Constitution and the California Constitution to be upheld and to hold fast in every part of our country. But right now we're fighting on our ground, in our turf. And for any politician or state agency that's listening, what you want to do in our backyard won't happen. We won't let this happen in our backyard, and it won't happen in Siskiyou County. We will fight with every resource at our command.
And for the people that that are not, they're not quite understanding the cost. They're thinking, well, okay, so there's the, you know, this almost sounds a little bit like going through the airport, you know. The Patriot Act, of course, violates our Fourth Amendment rights to, you know, unreasonable search and seizure, but, you know, it keeps us safe. So, you know, people said, okay, we'll roll over for that one. So for people who might be of that mindset thinking, well, gee, you know, if you're not doing anything bad, what do you care if they come on your property? Why don't you talk to them a little bit about the cost? Because I had a Fish and Game guy tell me at the Reading Library, actually, a couple weeks ago, that, well, these permits are just $250. I don't know why people are so upset.
Craig, that's absolutely not true.
I know.
These permits can go into the tens of thousands, if not up over $100,000 for individual landowners up where we are. These permits are going to be based on how much water you have on your adjudicated water rights. Imagine, again, that Fish and Game is going to now put a price tag on your constitutional rights. They're going to determine what your right is worth, and they're not going to pay you. We're going to be required to pay them for our constitutional rights. I mean, what the folks really need to understand is that no state agency or government has any authority to ever, ever compromise your constitutional rights. Fish and Game, under the 1600 Agreement and the Incidental Take Permit, have no authority whatsoever to demand, threaten, bully us with jail time, fines, and prosecution to sign up for a voluntary program. These are thugs. These are thieves. These are people that will lie through their teeth in order to accomplish their goal. As the state of California falls further into bankruptcy, Jerry Brown is interested in cutting off the umbilical cord to the state and federal agencies. This is the financial umbilical cord, and also the financial umbilical cord to the counties. In Siskiyou County, we have become so overregulated by state and federal agencies that we can no longer use our natural resources to become an independently fiscally responsible county, that we can become independent of the state of California. When these permits, these type of actions taken by government authorities are what is going to destroy the Constitution of the United States and America today.
All right, you guys, come right back with us. We're taking a hard break here at 9 o'clock for some news. We'll be back in just a few seconds. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. Brought to you, welcome back to We the People. Brought to you by Reading Tea Party. We're in our second hour. If you want to stream live or chat with us, go to readingteaparty.com, click on radio, and you will be on the media page. Also on the media page is lots of information about our great sponsors. Sponsoring this segment is Miller Auto Transport. Bill Miller has been in the auto business for about 40 years, and he basically transports anything that has wheels. We're talking luxury autos, we're talking military vehicles, airplanes, boats. Well, boats don't have wheels, but they need to be transported. So if you've got something going overseas or across country, he's the person to call. So go to the media page and check out all the information, and we thank Bill Miller. And we're talking with Craig Chenoweth and Mark Bayard from protectourwater.org. And they're fighting some serious issues up there in Siskiyou County. And, you know, something I just wanted to bring up that I thought was a little ironic, and this is something that might connect people to how this could ultimately impact them as well, is Aaron and I were at a fish and game meeting at the Reading Library a couple of weeks ago, and they weren't talking about water or the 1600 permit, but they were talking about other issues. And being the rebel rousers that we are, we brought up the 1600 in front of everyone, and they didn't want to discuss it publicly, but came to us privately afterwards. And one of the fish and game employees also lives in Siskiyou County and has quite a bit of land, and has been stymied, can't do a thing with it because of his own agency. And his land also has been in his family for about 100 years. And I asked him, I said, if you could make a living using the land that's been in your family for over 100 years, would you do it? And he said, I would do it in a heartbeat, but I can't make it pay.
Huh. And he's part of the problem. So, fellas, we kind of asked you through the grapevine there during the break to line us out on what we're going to do this second hour. Where would you like to take us?
Great. Well, basically, I think one of the important things to start to explain to the folks is connecting the dots in terms of the incidental take permit, this new interpretation of the 1600 permit, and also the KBRA and the KHA in terms of the dam removal. This is a well-orchestrated process that has been going on. There are significant clauses in the KBRA for removing the dams, which will help fund the incidental take permit. And like we said earlier, these people are not concerned about whether or not we can make a living. They actually have equated this into their equation, and they basically say, well, you know, there might be some casualties here, but that's really not our problem. We're here to save the fish. Remember, it's never been about fish. It's about the control of water and private land. What's most important, I think, when making the connections of all these water-related issues is that who will be in control? Who is going to benefit? If they do have the ability at some point, it'll have to be a gun to my head for me to give up my water rights. What are they going to, what are they going to gain from this? What are they going to actually be able to do? Well, it's about also moving people out of an agricultural community to allow others to manage it and gain resources for it. The other problem that we have in Siskiyou County is that one of the agendas from our president, Mr. Obama, is that he would like to put a monument into our backyard. The reason that this relates to the KBRA, the 1600 agreement, and the ITP is this. This monument will be sitting on almost all of the best natural resources of timber, mining, you name it, in Siskiyou County, along with water and private property. The federal government plans to take this land from us, which keeps us codependent on the state and federal government for the way they see we should be doing, the way we will get paid in the long run, will all be out of federal or state money. That is not what we want in Siskiyou County. In Siskiyou County, we want to cut this very sick codependence on state and federal government. So the KBRA, removing the dams, is just another piece to the puzzle in terms of trying to gain more control. Promises were made 30 years ago to different individuals and community groups saying, we're going to give you your water back, we're going to give you your fish back. This was to a lot of the tribes that wanted to listen to this, and to a lot of other people that thought that they will be beneficiaries of all of this program to control the water in Siskiyou County. The idea here is that the folks who don't live in Siskiyou County, how does this affect you? This affects you with every dime you've ever paid in taxes, because they're using your tax dollars to sue us, to fine us, to control us, to capture us, and to remove us from our land. It's really important that people do understand that we have been the good stewards of the land in terms of trying to solve these problems for the last 200 years in Scott Valley. The folks that have been there that long and their families, their grandparents, their great-great-grandparents, these people have learned to use the land. What infuriates me to no end is that we want to solve the same problems that many of these state and federal agencies are trying to dictate us to solve their way. That is probably the best example of tyranny in government, to where there is no longer going to be control for the people on the ground. It is only going to be the control of the federal government. They will tell us how, when, and where to use property, to use land. Remember this. If we give them up on this incidental take permit, we sign up for this program, they not just have control over our adjudicated water rights to tell us when and where we can use the water that we already paid for when we borrow land, but they will have an access to every square inch of our property to be telling us exactly what and when and how we can do it. If we don't comply with this, under one of the contracts that we've been so graciously gotten from one of our neighbors, it basically says in the contract under the enforcement clause that by signing this agreement with the California Department of Fish and Game, I will be giving them authority to bring in outside law enforcement to prosecute me, imprison me, or do whatever they want to complete their program on my property. This is the tyranny that we're facing. So when you look at dam removal, when you look at the monument, when you look at the 1600 agreement, when you look at the ITP, this is government tyranny at its best.
And ITP, for folks, is the incidental take permit. You also mentioned KBRA. So tell the people what KBRA means.
KBRA means
go ahead and cover that
Klamath,
one.
Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement. That, and also that's coupled to the Klamath Hydro Settlement Agreement,
These are two agreements that were concocted in secret, by the way, in violation of the Bagley-Keene Act, in violation of the Brown Act, and pretty much every other act. And remember, the California Commercial Code says that the people of the state of California do not yield their sovereignty to the state agencies who are supposed to serve them, and information is to be open and public so that the people will have voice and help decide what happens in this state. These agreements were concocted and enacted between the California Department of Fish and Game, the California Natural Resources Agency, and about 20 or 30 stakeholder groups, quote, stakeholder, in order to restore the Klamath Basin to its once pristine environment, save the coho salmon, and this is the funniest part of the whole thing, and provide more water for everyone. How do they propose to do that? By tearing out almost all of the dams on the Klamath River. Now, I would ask everyone to listen to this very carefully, because I can't imagine how you can provide more water to anyone by pulling out a dam. But what they propose to do is pull out these four dams. They're going to save one dam for themselves in the upper Klamath Basin, because that's where most of the, quote, stakeholders are, in order to provide themselves with irrigation water and with power, a cheap source of hydroelectric power. But in the process, they're going to ruin the ecology and the economy in the rest of the Klamath Basin. There are huge sums of money in play here, billions of dollars. And also remember this, and this affects everyone. The California Department of Fish and Game, in conjunction with NOAA Fisheries, has spent over $250 million, with a B, in the Klamath watershed, Scott Shasta Valley and Klamath Basin, saving the coho salmon. And by their own count, they haven't saved one single fish after spending $250 million.
Gosh, that's got to make you feel good. All right, we're going to follow a little money when we get back. How about that, guys? Let's see, we're going to take a break here for just a couple of minutes. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Redding Tea Party. We'd love to have you call in, but we've got our guests on both lines. So if you want to communicate, go to reddingteaparty.com, click on radio. You can chat, you can stream live anywhere. And you'll also find the media page there with information about our guests, previous shows, and all of our sponsors. And, you know, before we get any further, let's plug next week's guest, Aaron. That's a biggie.
Yeah, for all you guys that have been, and you know what? I just want to tell you, I booked this like 2 months ago. So, you know, God's a nice man and he likes us. We've got Stephen Greenhut on the hook for this next week. Stephen Greenhut wrote a book called Plunder. Gosh, isn't it amazing? Plunder is all about the unions.
I mean, this is his life's work, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Exposing the unions for who they are. And this man is in...
Really a subtle title, too.
Oh, yeah.
Plunder.
And he's really in demand, I'm telling you. A hard guy to get. So
he talks fast. He's bringing on somebody else. He wasn't sure he could do the whole 2 hours. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So be sure to tune in next week.
Yeah, you're going to like it.
You don't want to miss that one.
You're going to like it. And so let's see, who's sponsoring this part? At Miller Auto Transport.
Miller Auto Transport and North State Consultants. And at our next break, I'll tell you about our third mystery sponsor.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Yes.
And so, guys, you mentioned stakeholders. Now, in this whole, Agenda 21 and ICLEI and all these other creepy programs that are really pushing all these agencies and kind of giving them a roadmap to follow, stakeholders is a big deal. Let's not gloss over that. Can you go into that a little bit more, either one of you?
Yes, I can. Stakeholders, that's a very important term that these guys like to use. A stakeholder is a group of people who have an agenda they wish to accomplish and money they wish to proceed. And in that doing, they participate in these programs and these secret meetings. For example, the stakeholders in the KBRA, the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement, and the Klamath Hydro Settlement Agreement, some of the stakeholders are Oregon Wild, Cal Trout, Natural Heritage, the Pacific Coastal Fisheries Commission, which, by the way, is an environmental law firm
who makes their living suing the government over environmental issues, Craig Tucker from the Karuk tribe. And these stakeholders intend to gather large sums of money, and I mean, this project is estimated to cost $2 billion, and probably by the time they begin to remove the dams, if they're successful, those costs will be up in the $4 billion range. California's cut of that is going to be in excess of $250 million. And what they do with this money, they fund their little projects. By projects, I mean there's a group downriver called the Salmon River Restoration Council. That's about 16 old hippies that grow pot downriver, and they stand to gain about $20 million out of the Klamath Restoration Agreement to do projects. By projects, I mean planting willow trees and doing silly things like that at taxpayers' expense.
Yeah, getting paid well to plant.
They're getting paid very, very well to plant, and there is a tremendous amount of money on the hook here. Now, one comment I made to Dennis Lynch from the Department of the Interior and John Bostic from the Department of the Interior was that the KBRA, KHSA, contains terms like stakeholders and so on, environment and species, danger, and so on. But the Constitution of the United States doesn't contain any of those terms. It contains terms like liberty, property, and voter. And I told them that these agreements have no authority whatsoever over the voters of Siskiyou County, because we vote 80% to reject dam removal, and these guys are ignoring us because they claim that the stakeholders rule this county, not the vote.
Hey, Mark, your phone's cutting out a little bit on us there.
Okay.
I'm gonna touch that one part that was kind of blanked out a little bit, that the Measure G was on your ballot up there in Siskiyou County, and that was asking the voters whether or not they wanted the dams left in or taken out. 80% said leave the dams in. So I thought it was interesting, too, that some of your Board of Supervisors members didn't want to put that on the ballot. So I'm sure when it came back with an 80% response rate, they were properly brought into
that
line.
that doesn't stop them from selling us out behind our backs. 80% of the Siskiyou County community is very supportive in keeping the dams because they understand the ecological disaster that would actually happen in taking out the dams. The KBRA is a 50-year charter government proposal, totally financed by government taxpayer dollars to oversee this calamity of taking out the dams. The Board of Supervisors are starting to get the picture slowly, some of them, but not all of them. They are more willing to see what they can do to make money out of this catastrophe that will affect the significance of whether or not Siskiyou County remains in control by the people. Politicians have a capacity to sometimes go through oversight and think that they know what is best for the people on the ground. That's not why we elected them. That's not what their elected position will ever be for in Siskiyou County. It's more important to understand that under the removal of the dams, this carbon imprint of doing such a thing will be such an ecological disaster that they even are willing to admit that may take 100 years to clean up. The historical research on the Klamath Basin and the water prior to the dams is the fact that it was a putrid stinkhole during the summer times. This isn't going to change the mineral sediments that are going to come through that even after what is behind the dams are removed. It's more important that people understand that the folks in Siskiyou County, we are fighting for our lives because, yes, we had 80% of the people who voted in the last election say that they were in favor of keeping the dams. But politicians and government and federal agencies, because there is an incredible amount of money tied into this, it's not just $2 or $3 million, $1 billion rather, that's just a start. This price tag is going to run over $50 billion. These projects that the government, like Obama, has under his administration, He is going to create more bureaucracy through government jobs. And that's what the KBRA is designed to do. You need to read this, folks, and you need to take a look at exactly what kind of oppressive concept this will be to our liberties and to our ability to work together and make the changes necessary that we see on our land and for our water.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about what the average person who's listening to this program who does not live in Siskiyou County can do to help?
It's pretty wonderful that so many people throughout this state who are now starting to grasp the conception of what is happening to us in Siskiyou County is that it will be in their back doors. It will be in their backyards. What we are seeing right now is, especially in the rest of California under PG&E, you're seeing these smart meters go in.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people in the state of California are paying more for their water bill today than for their electricity bill. Imagine, folks, that one day somebody comes to your house where you live, where you flush toilets, take showers, make coffee, and use water for your lawn or your swimming pool or anything else. And they basically say, we're going to cut your water by 50%. And then what 50% you have left, we're going to dictate to you how you can use and for what we deem is the beneficial use. Well, I hope that you hear that message because that's what is coming to you. And it's going to be in your neighborhood before you know it. What can you do to support us? You need to talk to your elected officials and say, no more compromises. No more backroom deals, and no way do you do anything for what you would think is in our best interest without talking to us first. Most of our politicians today, most of the way the government runs, is in a bureaucratic train that no longer listens to the people. It only listens to the one most important thing. Where's the money? Like you said earlier, follow the money. The money will show you exactly what is going to happen to you, not only fiscally, but where you're going to have to end up in your life in terms of where your freedoms and your liberties will be. It's important that people get active. It's important that they make the Tea Party meetings. It's important that they get involved in their city councils. It's important that they get involved with their supervisors and make sure that the people that you have elected in place are there to protect your rights and liberties.
And
if
you know,
they have other agendas, if they're listening to deep pocket representatives and lobbyists that want to get big projects done in your communities, then you need to let them know that that's not going to happen in your city or in your county.
And
it's people take back control.
Yeah, and I want to add, in addition to protectourwater.org and pieinpolitics.org, which are your two websites.
.com,
excuse me. Yep, right in front of me, .coms. But in addition to that, the Tea Party meetings, you know, we're designed specifically to be a clearinghouse of information, a place of education. And we're nonpartisan, and these issues that we're talking about, they don't have party lines. These are nonpartisan issues, and these are things that will affect every person regardless of how they vote.
Absolutely. One of the things that Mark has been so great in communicating with people in terms of education is that if you're not willing to stand up for this and take responsibility for those you have elected, nobody else can do this for you. Talk to them a little bit about that, Mark.
Hey, we've got to come back. We've got to take a little break here, guys. When we come back, we're going to start there. So hold that thought. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
By the Redding Tea Party, we're entering the last half hour of our two-hour show. Just a reminder, if you want to find out more about the Redding Tea Party, our sponsors, or our guests this morning, go to reddingteaparty.com, click on radio, and you'll be on our media page. And everything you need to know about Mark Baird and Craig Chenoweth and their organizations are right there on the media page. And this portion of We the People is brought to you by Alt-Temp Tactical Lube. Now, if you don't know what that is, It's Magic in a Bottle, a little tiny bottle. It was designed by Jim and Nancy Myatt, a couple that were kind of keyed into the fact that some of them are military overseas dealing with extreme temperatures on both ends, found that their weapons didn't hold up, and they
had to be relubed all the time because the material was being affected by the extreme heat and the extreme cold.
So they came up with a little magical potion called Tactical Lube, and they run a special. For $39.95, you can buy a 500 application bottle, send it to someone overseas, and they will include two additional bottles.
Stuff goes a long way, and the reason you don't hear our microphone squeak anymore is because we put it all over the station in here. It's awesome.
Yeah, the microphones used to squeak.
Yeah, and before you think, oh, it's graphite, oh, it's silicone, no, it's not any of that stuff. It's some secret stuff that Jim whipped up in his garage or something.
It's pretty fabulous, though.
I don't know. Nancy hasn't complained, so I guess they didn't whip it up in the kitchen. But anyway, Altev Tactical Lube, it's very cool. Make a great present. So let's see. We're coming back here with Mark and Craig that are in different towns. So this is a pretty well-coordinated deal we've got going. Elizabeth and I are here in Redding, and Mark's up in Scott Valley, and Craig's down in San Francisco. And these guys obviously talk about this enough that they can share a mind, even though they're hours apart. Good job, Ben.
And, you know, we were talking about how the individual person can help. Can you two just kind of highlight your organizations, maybe how you started them, how people can plug in, and some of the efforts that you're having? I know you had a fundraiser last night, but some of the things that your community is doing.
Well, yeah, I can. We have very, very good organization in the sense that it's a grassroots organization. And by the way, the Siskiyou County Water Users Association Fighting Dam Removal is a separate organization. Protect Our Water was designed mainly to stop the government intrusion into surface water rights in the Scott and Shasta Valley. So we have interests that cross, but we are separate organizations. This essentially got started in Craig's living room, because a lot of us, Craig's been on this wagon alone for quite some time, but a lot of us were a little bit slower to wake up. Once we woke up, we found ourselves in his living room listening to the outright tragedy that this program would enact on our valley. And then we began to find people who were like-minded. The Fish and Game had a workshop scheduled to explain, quote, the program. And by the way, a person can go get these permits individually at a cost of around $30,000 per diversion. Now, we have water users who have 10 or 12 diversions on their property. So that's the money that we're talking about here. But what the Fish and Game and the Resource Conservation District did, with the full knowledge of our Board of Supervisors, they knew all along, they sold us out right from the beginning, was that the Fish and Game and the RCD was going to put all of these supposed permits, these reinterpretations of law, into a basket permit, and it is a contract called the Watershed-Wide Permit Contract. That is the contract that a person has to voluntarily sign in order to give up his property. Most contracts you would sign, for example, when you buy a car, you sign a contract. You get the car. They get the money. In this contract, with nothing, they get the property and the money. Oh, and by the way, if we don't play ball after volunteer, we can be jailed, prosecuted, and fined. So we started a grassroots organization. We have no corporation, no nonprofit, nothing. This is all individually done. We pay for this out of our own pockets and out of the generosity of people who want to help us win, and essentially came together as a result of a canceled workshop. The Fish and Game canceled one of their exploratory meetings because they were afraid of, quote, an armed revolution in Siskiyou County. And so about 100 of us, with Craig in the lead, walked down to the Mason's Hall. Somebody had the keys. We opened the door, and away we went.
That's awesome. And last night at the Grange up there, that place was packed. I mean, they were going through spaghetti like it was water.
People are beginning to wake to this, and we want to talk about how the listeners can help and how the listeners can defend themselves. And really, they can't probably directly help us in this fight unless they want to contribute to the cause. They can do that through our website. We're not soliciting contributions, mind you. What we're soliciting is that people wake up. People need, in the Tea Parties, need to put this petty bickering aside. We need to focus on the larger agendas. We need to say no to government out of control, and we need to mean it. We in this county aim to hold our Board of Supervisors directly responsible from the fallout from this program. We intend to replace one of them with a constitutional thinker, and we will then turn to the rest of them and say, are you going to become constitutional thinkers? And if they respond no, we will target another one, and we will replace that one. And we will continue with that until we can draw a defensible line against our county and tell the state and the feds that they need to have some manners when they come to Siskiyou County to take people's property, because we're not going to allow it in our county.
Well, I'll tell you what, this has happened all throughout history, and it didn't take that many people to start the activity of pushing back, but it does take everybody to stand up. And you guys up there are doing something that's going to benefit people all over the country, because if they can't get you, they can't get them either. So it's incredibly important that this go well. I mean, it's incredibly important.
This
and
is
you know,
their pilot project.
Absolutely, and I wouldn't be shy about soliciting contributions. I'll tell people straight up. If you,
well, thank you. We need more money. There's no two ways about this. We've got some very big legal bills, and we've got a long way to go here, because we realize that the position that we are taking in Siskiyou County is just the beginning of federal and state regulatory process in our lives. The message for everyone today is to get involved and to start to learn. Get the education you need. Get to know the facts of what is happening in your local communities. Because when you have to fight, like we are, for the ground underneath our feet, we have everything to lose. If the government comes in and tells me I can only use my adjudicated water rights the way they see fit, I will be out of business. I'm 55 years old. I worked 40 of those years to pay for my ranch. I will lose everything I own. I've got no health care. I've got no pension. I've got no retirement fund. I had hoped in my old age that I could go to the bank and get a loan to help me get through some things. Well, guess what? The banks in Siskiyou County are starting to take a look at this. They understand the threat, and they're saying, you know, you guys, good luck, but we can't loan you any money on a piece of real estate that might be valueless in the next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happening to us. That is what we have to lose for our children, our grandchildren, and for the next generations of Americans that live in Scott Valley. Come to pieinpolitics.com. Take a look at the articles, the local articles, and see what we're doing and see how we're doing it. If you feel and you got a generous piece of change you want to donate to us, we're more than welcome to help you give that to us and to help us keep moving forward. Because, by gosh, I'll tell you something, this is going to be in your backyard before you know it. We want to get you the information, the tools, and all the necessary fundamental responsibilities that you have to stand up for your lives and to protect what you have from our government. Our biggest threat today in Siskiyou County is our own government trying to take our property and our lives.
Well,
may I add just one thing to that?
Sure.
In addition to that, this contract, this watershed-wide permit contract, just as an example, we got one from one of our diverters. This guy gets half a cubic foot of water on a seasonal creek. He probably only gets it for about 2 weeks a year. It's really not much water in the overall scheme of things. On a creek which Fish and Game admits contains absolutely no endangered species whatsoever. This contract is 150 pages long. We had this contract looked at by several pretty good attorneys. And by the way, to augment what Craig said, any money that people donate will go to a legal fund. The members of our group, the leadership of our group, we don't submit our costs, and we have thousands and thousands of dollars in this personally, guys, believe me.
he's got $20,000 in legal expenses out of his own pocket in this thing, and he can't afford it any more than any of y'all can afford it. But anyway, this contract we had looked at by several generous attorneys who didn't charge us any money, so I can't mention their names, their advisors, not representatives. And here's what they said. We could go through this contract line by line. We could tell you that this is wrong with it and that's wrong with it. And a lot of our elected representatives, by the way, are still, even now, realizing what's wrong, attempting to take this contract and have Fish and Game just change it a little bit so it's more palatable to the people. Well, let me get to the crux of this. The attorneys agree on one thing. The whole thing is illegal. Everything about it is contrary to the law of the United States, the law of the state of California.
Hey, Mark, we're losing
California. But if we don't stand up for our rights under the Constitution, no one can help us. We must stop being weak-kneed. We must stand up for the law that is the law of this land, or no one will help us. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely. We're going to come back in just a couple of minutes and finish our last 15 minutes with the guys on water here. I want you to make sure and let people know about Fred Kelly Grant and that's going to be available. So make sure and squeeze that in. Going to take a little break here. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM. Thank our advertisers here at the home of Free Fire Media.
By the Reading Tea Party.
True.
We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. ReadingTeaParty.com. Click on radio. Go to our archive page, our media page, and everything you need is there. Very quickly, this last portion of the show is sponsored by AllTemp Tactical Lube.
That's right. And for people that have been listening to this or have tuned in late and you're wondering what the beginning was like, go to the radio page that Elizabeth told you, ReadingTeaParty.com, click on radio, and give us the better part of the day for the radio station to get that archive up. But all these shows are on there with all the sound file and all the written information and the links. You can email that page to anybody you want. That's the best way to spread the word. So there are lots of people who can't listen Sunday morning, but nobody cares. You can listen to it any old time and make sure you send it to other people so they can plug in.
Yeah, take total advantage of our media page because we work very hard to make it possible for you to spread the word beyond Shasta County.
We're using the word we loosely. Robert does all of it.
Yeah, Robert does it. We're a team.
Thanks, Robert.
Robert actually does that.
Okay, so guys, tell us, Mark and Craig. Let's talk a little bit. Maybe do you want to promote Fred Kelly Grant, or what would you like to do with our last 10 minutes?
Sure. Let's talk about Fred coming out. Fred Kelly Grant is a premier attorney for water and land rights and many other activities, including coordination. He is one of the gentlemen that has given us a lot of the tools that we have today to help fight these issues against state and federal government. We've invited Fred Kelly Grant to come out and visit us here in Siskiyou County, and he's also going to be right down there in Shasta County. On March the 11th, we're going to have him fly into Siskiyou County, and he's going to spend a couple of days with us talking about the issues that where we can take back control of our county in order to make it a much more constitutional place to live with a good fiscal independence of state and federal agencies. On March the 12th, we're going to have a very large meeting up at the fairgrounds, the Siskiyou County Fairgrounds, in the Floral Building. And we would love to invite all of you up there to listen to that. And I know Aaron will talk to you in a few minutes about Fred being down in Shasta County, too. What's really neat is that Fred's the kind of guy that is pretty easy to talk to. We're interested in charter cities and charter counties, creating home rule, creating a place to live where state and federal agencies can't come in and threaten and bully us and take our livelihoods away. We need to stand up, and we're going to learn how to do this with some of the new tools that Fred Kelly Grant is going to bring to us.
And, you know, for those that are not aware of Fred Kelly Grant, just a quick little blurb. He's been very successful in taking the language created by these agencies and using it against them.
And that's
absolutely. He's seen a lot of the contractual problems and how these folks have just decided that they're going to try and take away our rights and privileges and minimize them into something that where we can no longer function fiscally under these type of oppression.
Well, I think he brings resources. We have put the word out to other groups in Northern California that want to plug in. I know you guys have about a $2,500 budget gap on his visit to cover the cost for that. And
We do. We're running a little short on being able to pay his entire fare to come out and to be with us for the 5 days. So anybody that would love to contribute to help us balance out the cost for Fred coming out to visit us, we would love some more donations on that. Yes, we're about $2,500 short, and we could sure use the help because we're running out of money and going broke fighting this.
Absolutely.
But we know that we will fight as long as we possibly can.
There are people who are curious in other counties. I mean, these could be people in Butte County or Glenn County or anywhere in the radius, I would say, of Northern California that can take advantage of Fred's information. We're putting together a roundtable discussion on the 13th. If you want to email me, you can send it to 1460@readingteaparty.com if you have inquiry about that. And we're making that, instead of just an unfocused question and answer type of session with this man, we want to send him specific questions, lots of questions. I'm on the Charter City Commission for Reading, so I'm curious on his information for Charter City. I know you guys are looking at Charter County, coordination and 10th Amendment and all those issues. People I know are coming from Santa Rosa, Crescent City, Humboldt County. We've got folks coming from all over the place. And for people in the Reading area who would like to actually see Fred speak, he'll be at the Reading Tea Party meeting on the 14th, Monday night at 6. So want to give people lots of opportunity to plug into that. And I know we have people listening from all over the place. And, you know, you always get those calls. People say, well, I can't, you know, I'm old, I can't do anything, or I'm young and I can't do anything, or I work all the time and I can't do anything. People do want to contribute. So for those folks that are in the battle and using their time, great. For those folks who have it to keep the battle going, that's even better. If we all do our part, it'll get done. So talk to us about, can you guys talk about kind of what you guys have done as a community up there to plan, or do you not want to go into all that?
Go ahead, Mark. Quite a success at trying to gather support from people, and slowly we're educating people as to the dangers of the California Department of Fish and Game and agencies of that ilk, and these guys act more like a criminal organization than they do a state agency. So we've had a lot of grassroots support. We've formed a phone tree, and we're forming a fast reaction force so that if Fish and Game comes to one person's property, we can have 200 pickup trucks on that guy's land blocking the road.
Nice.
We plan to arrest Fish and Game wardens when they trespass on private property. We're going to arrest them for trespassing and have them prosecuted. We are going to say no, and we mean it. Remember, the Constitution is not a living document, as is the modern buzzword. It is a document designed to protect us from the good intentions of well-meaning despots, which is to say, these people mean to govern well, but they mean to govern whether you like it or not. We have certain rights and we have certain guarantees under the Constitution of the State of California. Article 1, Section 1 is one of my favorites. We have the right to possess and protect our property. We are going to do that. We're going to try to form a charter county. If we can accomplish that, we're going to try to teach other counties how to do it. And if we could get a coalition of 8 or 9 Northern California counties as charter counties, if we could succeed in doing that, we could then all turn and face the state and say, you remember that property tax money we were going to send you on Monday? Well, you're not going to get it unless you begin to follow the rules as they are written. And that is one of the long-term goals. This is going to take years. But everyone needs to put aside their petty differences, stand up together, educate your elected officials that they work for you and mean it, and we can win this thing. Remember, 90 Americans stood off 900 British regulars when the last revolution, 234 years ago, took place. And we won a country, and we can do it again.
That is awesome. So anybody who's not out of their seat already...
Yeah, well said.
Yeah, come on. for people who want to, let's say somebody has a relative up in Siskiyou County who isn't plugged into your system, how should we direct people to become part of that that effort, the phone tree and all that? And what about people in neighboring counties who want to help?
Have them basically get a hold of, go into PiatePolitics.com. We have a contact there. My phone number's there. Mark's phone number's there. Our email address is there for them to contact us through Pion Politics. We want to teach people how to stand up for their rights. We want to educate people how to stand up for themselves. Nobody will stand up for you if you're not willing to stand for yourselves. No elected official, no president, no one will stand up for you until you stand up for yourself. And through Pion Politics, we will contact you. If you contact us, we'll get you the information, we'll tell you more about our strategies, and we'd love to have you participate with us.
Now, you guys, there are some older folks in the Tea Party movement that don't always get on the computer, and they're probably listening to their radio right now. Do you mind giving a phone number that they could call in case
sure.
they don't access your website?
Not a problem. My personal phone number at my ranch is area code 530-467-4119. That's 530-467-4119. Call me. My name is Craig Chenoweth. I am the president of the Scott Valley Protect Our Water Group, and I would love to hear from you. I would love to start to communicate with more people who can help us in any way, shape, or form, even if it is just getting out of your chair today and standing up and saying, I'm mad as hell and I ain't taking it anymore.
And if somebody wanted to send you $25 or $100 or $15 or, you know, whatever they can do.
Do it online.
Do it online. Or call
sure,
Craig.
They can
or
do it online or they can send it to Scott Valley Protect Our Water Group in care of Craig Chenoweth at P.O. Box 311 Etna, E-T-N-A, California, 96027.
Very good.
And also remember, just one last thought, if I know you have to close pretty soon. In the Revolutionary War, in the Civil War, there were children as young as 9 years old carrying weapons to form this country. You know, and Benjamin Franklin was in his 80s when he was traveling all over the world trying to form this country. I'm almost 59 years old. Craig is in his 50s. Folks, we got a lot of gray hair in the room.
Well, you know, you guys know that.
Meetings, and let's teach them to fight, too.
Well, we want to thank you very much, very, very much for joining us today. You guys are awesome. You're fighting a great fight, and we'll stay in touch. And I know Aaron travels up there a lot to work with you guys, so thanks again.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very
much. We'll be seeing you next week with Stephen Greenhut. You are listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Thank you for